Okay, so everybody, I hope, is at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We'll be reading 14 through 26, and our text this morning, our key text, will be verse number 16. That verse has to do with shunning some things. And the title of our message this morning is still part of Fit for His Use, but the subtitle of the message would be Shun Evil. Shun Evil. So we'll be talking a little bit about that this morning. I hope that you've been reading ahead, doing a little study. I hope that some of you have done this. I've had at least one person tell me that they spent time studying grace this week. And I asked, I said, how many verses did you find? And he said, unlimited. Literally, he said there was so many verses that he went and marked, and so many verses the Lord showed him. And so this individual asked me, said it was very helpful to him that there was something given, and he wanted to know what the word was for this week. And so the word for this week for you to study is a partner to that word, although they are different. And so I'll tell you what part of your responsibility is with this word. The word is mercy. Not only just look up all the places that you find mercy, but study what that word means. And it is different than the word grace, although they're often companions together. Mercy and grace, Paul often extends that to the brethren. Love, mercy, and grace in different forms. Those two words are different. So find out what the difference is. That would be the best part of your study today. And then as another component of your study is that every day you ask the Lord to help you to have mercy. That you ask the Lord to help you to have mercy. Once you define it and you know what it is and you realize what God has done towards you, how He has shown great mercy towards you, the only thing that a son or a daughter of God can do is ask God to help them to have that kind of mercy towards other people, especially in their own home, husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, and certainly children to the parents. If we practice these things at home, by the way, we'll find out that they're just common practice in the church. Amen? Now, we sometimes are very good at doing them in the church, but we fail at home. Don't be that away. That's the place that you've got to struggle with and you've got to go to battle with the greatest. Is it the same love that you extend towards the brethren here, you extend towards the ones in your own home? Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we got people listening online later on this week. Do you want them to think I'm preaching to nobody? Let's try that one more time. Amen?
Amen.
So those who are listening online, you see that we actually do have a live audience that's out here, and they are listening to God's word as you are. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, let's look at verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the heart, ears. In other words, don't spend time, waste time, arguing or discussing things that have no merit, because really they're going to have no profit. There's nothing at all that's good about them, and eventually they're going to subvert the hearers. So you got to be careful about those things that you're discussing, particularly in the Word of God. Study to show thyself, and this is where we were last week, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, he is speaking to those, of course, he's speaking to young Timothy, but eventually Timothy's going to pass this same knowledge on. How's Timothy going to pass this knowledge on? Let's see if y'all have been listening. By example, right? Timothy is going to exemplify the very things that Paul's telling him he needs to learn himself. Timothy, these are the things you need to be doing. Now, Timothy, he's telling him these things. Why? Because he is to exemplify them to the church. And then the church is to be able to see a living example of what God wants us to do in growth, in maturity, in advancing for the kingdom of heaven. We are to be advancing. We're not to be staying in the same place, but we're to ever be advancing. We're to advance in our knowledge of the word of the scripture. We're to advance in our doing of the scripture. Amen? So what we hear and what we learn, that we are to do. And we're to be advancing in one of the greatest aspects of all that we learn. All of these things that we learn do what? They enlarge our capacity to love. In other words, there's less of us, and how do you enlarge your capacity? You only have a certain amount of capacity. We can't go in there. I used to tell my wife, Becca is here today, and Becca would sit down, and Becca and all three of my girls have always been tiny little eaters. And you've heard me share that. If they ate that much, all three of them, when they were little, that would almost be too much for them. But Carol was very much grew up in a farm home. They had big quantities of food, and they were all very good eaters. And so when we got married and we started having kids, Carol wanted them to eat well. She's always taking good care of them, making sure they take their vitamins and they eat veggies, and they didn't get a lot of sweets and all of that stuff. But Becca, she would be sitting there. Carol had put the plate out, and Becca and Carol would tell her, Becca, you got to eat more, because we would look and you couldn't hardly tell she'd eaten anything. And Carol would tell her, say, you need to eat a little bit more, and you need to eat a little bit more. And I would watch this going on. I'm over there eating my food, and I'm watching this going on. And poor Becca is just, she's just wringing herself because she can't hardly, she's full. There's no more capacity. And Mom is over there trying to fork it in, you got to eat more, you got to eat more. And I'll never forget, just very, very clearly one night we were sitting there and Carol did that. And Becca, she's probably 3 years old or four. And she looks at Carol and she goes, I'm going to puke, Mom. I'm going to puke. She could not take any more food. There's no capacity. You know what? You don't have the capacity to love. Very little. Your capacity is very marginal at best to love. But you may tell you what, Christ in you, there is no capacity. There's no limit to your ability to love. You can love your enemies. You can love those that don't love you. You can love those that are supposed to love you but really don't show it. You can love all of the brethren. You can love every single individual. And when you get done at the end of the day, you're not going, oh, man, that wore me out. There's still more love to give. That's only in the capacity of the Lord. In maturing in Christ, that's what it does. It increases your ability in every way to be more like Christ, to exemplify Christ. It's literally Christ in you. It's He Himself working in you to do His work. Amen? And so you and I need to mature. Amen? That's the goal. And we can never get to a place where we say, this is it. But we're always and ever looking to say, Lord, lift me up higher ground, right? Higher ground, higher ground. Keep me moving and advancing until you take me home. And so this morning, as we read about studying to show thyself approved, the purpose to study is what? Not just because I know, the Bible tells us that knowledge puffs up. If it's just the knowledge, we're going to gain in arrogance and pride. But the knowledge is to do what? Make us mature in Christ. It's to advance us so that we can love like He does. Now this morning as we read through, keep that in mind in each one of these. He says, we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then our key passage, our text this morning, but shun profane and vain babblings. Wow, that's a mouthful of stuff, isn't it? For they will increase into more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a gangrene or a canker, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use. That's where we get the title, the overriding title of fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So you could put that as in this passage, this would be the main block of scripture to encapsulate what's going on here, right? All of the things he's told him are for this purpose. That a man may what? Be fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So the Lord throughout the day in your life is working. And as He is, He's working in your life. And you're learning and you're preparing and all of this. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes who needs either to understand the scripture more. Or maybe they have never ever received Christ as Savior. They need somebody to testify to them of the gospel. They need somebody to be able to carry a burden. Maybe that's all it is. And you say, well, they're not saved. They need salvation. You know, let me tell you, before you can ever reach somebody for salvation, sometimes you've got to help carry their burden just for a little while. You've got to be able to reach down where they're at. You've got to be able to help them where they're at. And you've got to be able to love them where they're at. And in that doing of the Lord's work, they then will be able to hear the gospel message. See this over and over when we go into Guatemala, we go into some of these countries, but it's no different here. The needs may be different, but let me tell you, the needs are just as great here as they are there. As a matter of fact, I think they're greater here than they are there, in the sense that there, their physical needs, and they do have spiritual needs. They need to hear the gospel, but they're very open to it here because of all that's gone on and the plenty that we've had right now. When people don't have, really all they can see is what they don't have, and their minds are almost closed to the gospel. And so you and I have quite a chore to do here. But if you will love them like Christ does, and you will continue to meet them where they're at in their need, you'll be able to reach them for Christ. We can go on down and continue to go through here, because he says, flee also youthful lust. Remember, he's talking to a young man here. Boys, this is for you. Boys, young men, listen. Flee also youthful lusts. You know what that means? What's the word lust mean? One of the boys. You're like, I don't know, but I don't like that word on my tongue. That word means desires. Flee also youthful desires. Things that you think that you want, that you have to have. The feelings that are there. It says, flee from them. You know what that means? Run from them. He doesn't use a word walk away. He doesn't say try to avoid. He says, flee from youthful lusts. The things right now that is in your heart, in your mind, your flesh, boys, you're saved. Most of you that I'm talking to this morning, and yet some of the older men can do well to listen to this too. He says here, he says, flee from these youthful lusts. You don't stand and try to resist the temptation in the midst of whether it's friends or whoever it is where this is coming from, and your desires are that you want to do this. But you know that it goes against the word of God. You know what he says? He says, run from them. You know what the example is in the Bible of the person that did that? Is Joseph with Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife, she thought Joseph was quite the looker. And here he was working every day in the house. And as he did that, she decided that she wanted him. And she threw herself at him. And you know what Joseph did? He went, first of all, he went and got away from her advances, but it became so bad that one day when nobody else was around, it was just he and she showed up on the scene, and she threw herself at him. You know what he did? He ran from the scene. Some people would say that's a coward. It has nothing to do with a coward. It has to do with running from the evil, from the lust, and the temptation was there. He got himself away from it. That's how much he loved God. Amen. We do our kids a disservice when we think that they can stand in places that we can't even stand. And we don't teach them that you got to run from it sometimes. Many times you got to run from it. Amen. I got teased an awful lot in high school because I didn't go to parties. You know the reason why I didn't go to parties? There was no good thing that could happen there. Nothing. You say, well, you missed out. I didn't miss out on anything. They missed out. I was at church a lot. I made a lot of visitations. I learned the word of God, and there's none of it that I regret. I don't look for one second. You will never hear. You can ask my wife. She has never heard me say, I wish I could go back to high school. Never. You know, let me tell you why. Because I'm present. I want to live in today. I want to live in now. And I don't look back and regret that part. I'm grateful to God for what he did in my life then, that he preserved me through those things. Because there were many temptations, and much of it had to do with me being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And because God kept me from that, he kept me from the temptations. Kids, you ought to hear me. One day you'll look back and wish you had listened. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, which is love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they breed strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose him, if God perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, we almost say that in passing, but that scripture needs to be highlighted. Let me read it again. And that they may recover themselves. These are those that do not flee from youthful lusts. These are the ones that don't do anything to resist. You have to try to recover them that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him. Listen to what this says. At his will. In other words, he can do whatever he wants. What a terrible thing for a person who claims to be a child of God, and Satan can have his way with them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. We need your help. For today, Lord, we're helpless to be able to preach it, but we know with you, Lord, that you'll accomplish the good work in informing and, Lord, teaching and, Lord, preparing and all of the things that has to be done for a young Christian, for a mature Christian, for everybody in between. Lord, only you can do it. We rest in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a few thoughts that I'll give you before we really get back into the heart of the message. That let me ask you today, how abiding is your faith? I'm sure your faith is being tested on a daily basis. As the Lord has been working in my life, I'm certain that He is in yours. And I found that there's no greater work that He's doing in my life than empowering me to be able to stand in my faith. And how He's doing that is He's allowing me to be tested. There's things that are coming up in my life that bring great hesitation if I'm not careful. There's some things that can cause some anxiety. There's some things that cause doubt. There's some things of disappointment. There's some things of great struggle. Physical struggle as well as spiritual struggle. And every one of those are working in my life by the Lord. Not one of those have been wasted. Not one of them does God look and say, well, I forgot that one. I have to go back and do it. He sees them all. And every one of them He places in our life at certain points of our life with the purpose of advancing us, with the purpose of strengthening our faith. For faith is the basis of all the work that's going on in your life. Your advancement is determined specifically by your ability to trust in the Lord. When it comes to a temptation, if you can't trust the Lord, you will fall. When it comes to a relationship, you can't love them the way that you need to love them and have mercy and grace extended to them if you are not trusting of the Lord. If it comes to the church, whether it's coming to church, whether it's being a help in the church, whether it's doing a service in the church, you can't do it to your full capacity unless you are advancing in faith, unless you trust in the Lord. And we could go in every single area, those physical things that come up against you. Some of us in the next year, God forbid, but most likely somebody within this body is going to hear some news about their health that is not good. That's just a given, almost, with the sheer numbers of people that we have here. And it's not, we don't have huge numbers, but it doesn't take huge numbers nowadays for that to be the case. But are we going to be able to trust the Lord, whether it's in our life or whether it's in the life of someone else that we love? Right now, the world has got us fearing the very death that is the answer to us getting to be with the Lord. Not that we're to hurry up and to try to extinguish our life, but the fact of the matter is that death has no power over us. It has no sting. There's no victory for it. The victory is in Christ Jesus, who has saved us and born us into the eternal kingdom. And now we no longer have to fear death. But now then, we can stand strong in the day when everybody else is wincing over what's going on and they wonder about our foolishness. We don't have to give them the math of the thing. Well, you know, it's I do this and that to protect myself and da-da-da-da. Let me tell you what I tell them. Let me tell you why I don't fear. Because I trust the Lord. It's that simple. You trust the Lord? Yeah. You're not afraid about getting the virus? No, not a bit. You're not afraid about your loved ones getting the virus? I don't want them to get it, but no, I'm not afraid of it. You need to tell me you want your loved ones to die. It's not what I said. I said I don't fear it. Let me tell you why I don't fear it. Not at anything I can do. Hey, you leave me by myself and I'll go crawl up in a little corner and I'll cry like a little baby over stuff. But whenever I trust in Him and He is in control of the very ones that I know that I love and He's in control of the situation, I leave it there. He's able. You say, I don't think I can live like that. You're right, you can't. Not in your capacity. That's why you have to grow up in the Lord. And as you grow up in the Lord and you begin to trust Him more, what does He do? He makes you stronger in faith. And that faith is abiding in every area. It doesn't touch just one area. It touches every single area of our lives. Every area. And so our faith has to be stretched. Our faith has to be challenged. Our faith has to be pushed a little bit. And God doesn't bring these things about, but we do have an enemy. First of all, we have sin that is the precursor to death, isn't it? Sin came first, and when sin came, what was the promise? The promise was that if you take of the tree and you sin, you shall what? Surely die. Death comes as a consequence of sin. And so we have death around us. That means there's disease. That means there's all kinds of things that come upon us, right? Most of us, we may make it to 100. We're in a generation that we might, but it's just as likely that most of us aren't going to make it to 100 years old. Take a look at where you are right now. Hey, I'm past halfway on that little map. Don't laugh, Matt. I haven't got a lot of things for you guys to get. I'm just teasing. Matt would never want those. But you know what? Trusting the Lord has a grace in itself. Every event that you either learn to trust Him more in or that you fail in are opportunities for the Lord to teach you something. He proves to you every day that He is worthy of your trust. Your faith and your capacity to trust the Lord is the single most determinant factor in your youthfulness, your usefulness, your profitability to the Lord. Did you hear that? You can write that down if you want to. I'll repeat it again. It's worthy of writing down. Not because I wrote it, because the Lord gave it to me to write. But your faith, your capacity to trust the Lord is the single most determinant factor in your usefulness, in your profitability to the Lord. The trial that you're going through right now is to test your faith. The struggling relationship that you're in is testing your faith. The financial storm that you're in is testing your faith. The potential that you have in front of you, an opportunity to advance, and some we think of them always being negative things. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes the things we're tested in are the choices or the decisions that we make right before us. The potential advancement in a job is a testing of your faith. You say, how? Am I going to really seek the Lord and ask the Lord what He wants here? Am I going to seek His will, or am I just going to do what I want? Right? How about the opportunity to witness? It tests your faith, doesn't it? Nothing is wasted by the Lord. You're much like young Timothy. Some of you are. You're timid in your testimony. You lack amount of faith to be able to stand firm in the day that we live. There's a lot of questions and doubts, and you have to be strengthened and uplifted. And you don't do that by getting shrunken back into your house and learning nothing from the Word of God. But it's through that that you learn, and as you learn, He advances you. The Lord is coming back. Let me ask you this. Are you prepared to meet Him? Are you a vessel that is fit right now for His use? A vessel that is clean and ready and filled with the Holy Spirit Himself. Well, over the last week, we went and looked at the word study, and I didn't do a very good job giving you all the points last week, so I'm going to provide those for you who are taking notes right now. Let me take you all the way on my notes, all the way to the third page. And in that third page, we found the main word was study. Remember, there were three things that we were going to look at. We were going to look at the word study. We were going to look at the word shun, and we were going to look at the word stand. In the word study, we found out that He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are some elements in there that we need to get a hold of. Our study has to have time devoted to it. A certain amount of time that we give. It's automatic. When you think of the word study, you can't think of the word without thinking, how much time am I going to dedicate to the study? Amen? Yeah, because you can't study and dedicate no time. You can't study and dedicate 5 minutes. You can't study and dedicate one day. The very word implies that we dedicate a certain amount of time to this effort, right? The second thing is the very word itself. Let me tell you what it means. It means to use speed. Now get this. This is the word study. In the Greek, it means to use speed. That is to make effort. It has the idea of doing your diligence and exerting oneself. Amen? Amen. That's not just an ordinary word. But the whole idea of the word means effort. So the second word you need to write down, besides time that you got to give to it, you got to give your effort to the word. And we found out that the effort is expressed several scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 2, he says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." The first place that you are giving your effort is faithfulness. Amen? Yeah, if you're going to give effort, you don't want to just give it to the study of it, but you've got to give effort to what? Actually sitting down to do it. Many of us think that it should just be natural. I tried over the years to study and I can't just do it. You want me to tell you what 90% of it is? Is you think that God is just some way going to miraculously come in and give you some kind of overjoyed thrill to be able to sit down and study the Word of God, and it's going to be in such a way that every day it's going to be happy-go-lucky, the best time in the world initially when you start. Now you say, boy, that doesn't sound like a preacher talking there. Much study is wearisome. Let me tell you what it takes. It takes a dedication. It takes effort to study. Now, it will become all that I just told you. But you've got to put the effort in initially to do it. You've got to dedicate the time to do it. You've got to actually sit down and for once in your life say, on this day, at this time, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read and study my Bible. You say, well, I don't know what to read and study. I'm trying to help you a little bit with just some few things. We give you two words. Be found faithful in those two. Sit down and give some time to it and give some effort to those two things. Now you can't say you don't have something to study because I gave you something. Now you can't say you don't have the time because if you don't, it's just because you didn't make it. Between now and next Sunday, I would say that if you would give me your schedule, I can easily find 6 hours in every one of your schedules. You say, no, you can't. I'm sure I can. If I can find those hours in mine, I'm pretty sure I can find them in yours. Now, that doesn't mean you got to spend 6 hours, okay? In case you all are sweating, it's like, he's expecting 6 hours out of me? No. I'm expecting 6 minutes. That's a good start. Amen? Amen. 6 minutes is a start. And that's all we're asking, is begin to be dedicated. And you know what? Give 1 minute each day. Give 2 minutes each day. Whatever it is. But whenever you commit to the Lord, just like Ananias and Sapphira went and found out that whenever they committed to the Lord, you stick with your commitment. Amen? So set the time and say, nothing else can take that time away from me. Now, if your family, if something happens and there's a family event, you say, I just can't avoid it. You know what you do? You schedule another time where you will be sitting down to do that work. You set the time and you give the effort and you be found faithful in that. And the last thing that we found, he says the reason why, and there's so much more to this, by the way, the word show, he says, study to show thyself. That word means to exhibit. It means to substantiate or to prove the truth. What is it that you're proving? You want me to tell you why you sit down and study? Timothy, you've got to prove to those people that you're the man of God. Let me tell you how you do it, Timothy. You study the Word of God to show yourself approved. You're going to substantiate to them that you're the man of God. You can't do that, Timothy, if you don't study. You have to study, Timothy. That's what's going to prove to them you're the man of God. Amen. To you, how are you going to prove to a husband, to a wife, that you are the person that you claim to be in Christ? You're going to study the Word. Every one of us, if you go to get clean tonight, how many of you are going to go home and take a dry rag and you're going to rub it on your hand? You're going to clean your son or your daughter's ears out. Miss Esther, if you're going to clean young Damien's ears out, are you going to take just a dry wash rag and do it? I know you're not feeling good this morning. A chainsaw? Yeah, it may take that, okay? No, you're going to get some water in the whole function of the thing, aren't you? Now, we're probably going to use soap, but you know, water would do a pretty good job, wouldn't it? I mean, you give me a rag and give me a little bit of water, and I can clean up that boy's ears. His ears may be a little red when I'm done, but his ears will be clean. You may tell you what water does. It washes over. It takes the dirt out. It cleanses it from it, right? You may tell you what the Bible is described as. It's the water. The washing of the water by the word. Let me tell you what happens whenever you take the word of God in, is it cleanses, it washes over you. And as you read it and you learn the word of God, you say, I can't understand all. You don't have to understand all of it right now. You have to understand what he wants to give you right now. And if you're in the word of God, he will show you just a few things. Sometimes it's just learning the account that he wants you to get. You're learning about the individuals. You're learning about their lives because he's going to build in you some knowledge that God used ordinary people to do his great work, of which you're an ordinary person. Let me tell you what Abraham was. An ordinary person. Let me tell you what Samson was. An ordinary person. Let me tell you what Paul was. Ordinary person. You say, no, they weren't. Look at what they did. Yes, they were. Everything they did was in the power of Christ. Yeah. Samson showed you real quickly that in his own power, what happened? He gave in to Delilah. His eyeballs were poked out. He was blind. And he had no power because he had told her the secret of his strength, which was his hair, and she cut it all off. It was only when he came back to God and he repented that God went and restored the power so much that he could push the two pillars down and kill more Philistines in one event than he did his whole life. Let me tell you about Abraham. Abraham was so weak that he couldn't trust God in a couple of situations, and he had to lie to try to save his wife because she was such a good-looking woman that he was afraid the king would want it. You know what he could have done? Some people say, well, you know, that was in God's will. It's never in God's will to lie. Lying's sin. But you know what God did? In his weakness, God taught him something. You know what it was? Abraham, you could trust me. Abraham, I had this situation fully under hand. This king is not going to go against God. If you'd simply told him, you're God's man and this is your wife, I would have gotten you out of there. And we could go on and on and on and on and on with every single person that I could think of in the Bible. They're ordinary people. Let me tell you what they did. They trusted in God. They did the labor and the study and prepared their hearts for the work at hand. Amen? I don't want you to get... Hey, the worst thing that could happen is you all to be discouraged in this. But let me tell you, there has to be a knowledge of some things. And that is, if you don't know the Word of God in the time that we live, it's going to be very difficult for you to get through these things. Amen? The very word in here that helps you, that ought to help me, he says, Timothy, study, and this is particularly for the man of God, this is for the pastor, this is for the preacher, but he's to exemplify these to the body. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, and that word means toiler, and literally the word at its root means the act of doing. Timothy, you've got to be in the act of doing study. Study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then the last part, which is rightly dividing the word of truth. That word rightly dividing is the word bisect or dissection. It's cutting something apart. And you know what it is? It literally means to cut a straight line. So whenever you're dissecting, you're not doing this kind of business. You're literally cutting like this. And you know what we did in biology? You know why Mr. Risk, back years ago, teacher that I dearly loved, very hard teacher, but let me tell you, you learned his stuff because of it. We went and had biology class with him, and we had a frog. I don't remember all the stuff we had, but one of them was, I think, a worm. We had a worm and a frog, and we had to bisect that little frog. We had to cut that little frog, make a straight line, and we had, you know why we did that? Just because it was fun. No, we had to do what? They wanted us to identify the parts on the inside of it. The same thing for the worm. We had to cut it so that we could get inside and see what was inside of it. You want me to tell you what he's telling the man of God? You've got to get in there and you've got to rightly divide the word of truth so that they can see what's inside of the word of God. You're going to take and you're cutting it open and you're rightly dividing. You're pouring out what's out there. There's the gizzard, folks. I know frogs don't have gizzards, but I tease my kids, my grandkids all the time. I'll say, I'm going to tickle your gizzard. Do you know where your gizzard's at? And they're like right here. And their mom's in the background going, you don't have a gizzard. You know, Jordan, you don't have a gizzard, Jordan. Pawpaw's almost got them convinced sometimes they got gizzards. But you know what? How would we find out? We'd have to cut open to see what's in there, right? Let me tell you the reason why so many times we struggle, and some of the things that we're struggling in is because we haven't learned what's in the Word of God. What's there that can teach us to get us through the very moment that we're going through? Something that will teach us how to be strong in the very temptation that we're facing. And what God tells the preacher to do, He says, you've got to be able to rightly divide it. You've got to be able to open that thing up and be able to let them see inside of it so they know what to do. You know what we're doing this morning about study? We're opening the thing up so you can see all of it. And why? That's what we're doing. And the key is, listen to this, that needeth not to be ashamed. That word shame is a terrible word. It means guilt, guilty, sorry, conscience stricken, embarrassed. And it's always because of one's actions. You know what he says? Timothy, you want to be bold? Then you've got to get in there and you've got to study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needeth. And if you do that, Timothy, you'll be a workman that doesn't have to be ashamed. Have you ever been in a situation where you know it was because of your lack of preparation? You failed. Let's just say this, you failed the Lord. Anybody besides me? I mean, I'll rightly admit to you that I have been there. I have been in a place where I know that I failed the Lord. Now, the Lord was merciful to me, and He met me and kind of, hey, I just want to crawl under a rock after it happened. And there was great guilt upon my heart over these things and conviction. But whenever I got back home, you know what the Lord did? Sort of like my dad would have done. Get up off your face and get busy, son. What you didn't know, you will know now. You know why? Because you failed the last time. And so now then, get in the Word of God and learn the very thing that you couldn't answer. That's been how it's been my whole life. I can tell you from the time I was very young, probably the first time I remember it happens, about 10 years old or 11, and I can remember almost without fail, and I can't say every single year, but all on a regular basis, my failure was the very impetus that He used to put me back into the Word of God to learn the Word of God. You know what it gives whenever you learn the Word of God? It gives you boldness. The guilt is laid aside, the timidness is, the shame, the embarrassment, the fruitlessness, the silence, and all of a sudden you're bold in the things of God. My dad spent more time reading his Bible and studying his Bible in the last 20 years of his life. It's incredible to me how much time he spent. You want me to tell you what I saw as a direct result of it? And every one of his grandkids will have to say this is true, and all of his kids, was boldness. It didn't matter who walked through the door. It didn't matter where he walked through. Mom said whenever he would go to the doctor, he would talk to the doctor about salvation. He would talk to them about the things of God. When he was laying on the table for a procedure, he talked to the people that he was next to about the things of God. Whenever he went to the grocery store, he talked to them about the things of God. Whenever he went to the chiropractor with Mom, he talked to the woman at the chiropractor about the things of God. You want me to tell you why he did that? Because he's Jack Ivers. It had nothing to do with because he's Jack Ivers. Nothing. Zero. You may tell you why he did it? Because he studied the Word of God, and the Word emboldened him to talk to them about the truth. Amen? Now this morning, you have to answer where you're at. And by the way, when he says rightly dividing the Word of truth, it speaks of precision. So you have time dedicated. You have a stewardship that has to be given. And in that stewardship, there has to be effort that is given. And as you give the effort, there has to be a preciseness that is given, which will provide a boldness that you will have. Now, the other word that I wanted to look at, and it's almost time to go, but I felt like I had left off some things. Let's just pick up quickly this morning, and we'll get to it on another day. But look at verse number 16 again. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Do you know that this thought is pretty much a thread throughout Scripture? This word shun. Did you know that you see it in the early Scriptures? And the very first Scripture that you see it is where? Genesis chapters number 1, 2, and 3. Adam and Eve, you can eat of every fruit of the garden, but you can't eat of this one. You know what he's saying to them? Shun this one. Stay away from this one. He didn't tell Adam and Eve this, that you can't just eat of that fruit, but in the very telling them that you can't eat of that fruit, he says, for the moment you do, you shall surely die. You want me to tell you what Eve didn't do? She didn't shun the tree. You want me to tell you what Eve did? Eve thought that she could walk by the tree every day and take a good look at it and see, why is it that God doesn't want me to have the tree? But you want me to tell you the problem with that is? Is because Satan is good at making things look good. Satan, he tries, the effort that he establishes for us is he wants us to get our eyes fixed upon us because we're very visual people. And whenever we see something, then we want it. Why is it that men have so much trouble with pornography? Men? It's because of these two things right here. It's the eyeballs. Because you know what Satan does? He says, I'm going to get them to look, and if I can get them to look, I can get them to do. I can get them to fall. And you know what the Bible teaches us over and over and over? Shun it. Shun it. The word that you'll see often in Scripture is eschew it. And literally this word that means that shun and eschew, the word, here, let me tell you what it means. It means to steer clear of. To stay away from, to ignore it, to reject it, to avoid it, to literally, it means to turn oneself about. So we're headed in a direction and we see that thing that is there. And you say, well, that's weakness. No, it's not. It's understanding the enemy. It's understanding your own weakness in your own flesh. And what is it doing? It's obeying God. And he says that you got to learn to shun it. So you're headed towards this and you see whatever this is. What does it, the word mean to shun? It means to turn around away from it. Amen? Now let me give you an example and we'll let you go. I memorized Psalm 1 when I was a kid. Boy, does it serve me well. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the wind, are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And there's one more verse that I need to go back and rehearse a little bit, but I want you to get the first part of it. What did he say? Blessed, that means fully satisfied, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means the wicked. What do? You shun them. You stay away from that. Nor standeth, because it's a process, by the way. At first, you're just, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you're just walking with them. But the second one, he says, or standeth in the way of sinners. That means now that you've stopped and you're listening to them. And then the last one, which is a progression, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That means now you're among them. You're actually sitting down among them. And the scornful are the ones that mock, are the ones that ridicule, are the ones that make fun of the things of God. And he says, the first way to stay away from it is blessed is the guy that don't start walking with him. Shuns him. You say, well, how will I ever witness to them, Brother Shannon? Well, let's be honest. Is that really what's going on when you're with them? You know, before you can stand any ways close to the ungodly and the sinful, there has to be a maturity in your life of such that whenever you're among them, there's no fear to tell them the truth. There's a boldness to speak the truth of God. Otherwise, when you're with them, you will fall. Young men, mark my words. You'll have to choose some friends. You're going to have to be careful. You guys are getting, especially you older boys, you're getting to a place where you're going to have to choose who you're going to follow. You followed your mom and dad? That's a worthy thing. But now you're going to have to choose your own path. You get just a little bit older, aren't they, Brother Damien? They're going to go off to a man's army. They're going to go off to a man's job. They're going to go off to, and young ladies, it's no different for you. Let me tell you, you're going to have to choose very wisely where you spend your time. how you spend it. And this word shun ought to become part of your vocabulary. Now, I know we're just touching on it this morning. But let me tell you, you ought to take some time this week and pray and say, God, well, you know what Jesus prays in his prayer? He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know what he's saying? Really, it's the word shun. Although said in a little different way, he's asking that God would help us to be away from evil in any part of it, isn't he? That we would shun it. 1 Peter chapter number 3 verse 10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. But listen to this, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You have to be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit as he warns you of the things that you're to shun, to keep away from. And Paul mentions three things in this scripture that we'll get to at another time. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. And now as we go into a quiet time of invitation, I pray that you would work among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.